TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Hello again, Illini Nation. Boz and Mr. G talking Illini pre-Thanksgiving. You know, Mr. G, maybe we should adjust the poem and include Butkus, Nitschke, Grange, and Tate. Lauren's been around forever. As far as we know, Illinois sports, Lauren's always been in that picture.
Perhaps our renaissance was done in crayon, too. So I'm not sure about where we're going with it.
We promised everyone intense all-football talk. And to kick it off, the one and only Lauren Tate from the News Gazette. Lauren, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be with you.
What'd you think of Mr. G's opening poem there?
Oh, I love that poem. That's Grantland Rice.
Grantland Rice is the poem, and then I go on and do my own little shtick after that.
You add a little bit to it, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's his U of I education.
Okay.
Fine at work.
Welcome, Lauren. I think you're my favorite guest on the show because with you, I get original thought every time you're on. It's never about pulling punches or trying to be, you know, politically correct. And I wanted to start out today's show by asking you a question that I've wanted to ask you since I was a reporter for the Champaign Courier as a student at the University of Illinois in the late 1970s, and that's this. If with the benefit of hindsight, if assistant AD Mel Brewer had asked you for a drink in 1967 and then proceeded to bare his soul regarding slush fund, would you have broken the story? And if it wasn't publicized, how would it affect U of I sports over the last 42 years, and how would it have affected your career personally?
Oh, boy. You hit the bombshell right off the bat, huh? You don't even let me get warmed up.
No. You deep end with us, Lauren.
You know, that is a story that probably you would have to break, I would have to break, and it probably would have destroyed me in the community, much like the Neil Stoner situation, which I was responsible in great length for, and hurt me with a lot of people, still do. I got people still won't talk to me here in Champaign because, you know, I did the investigative work on myself and a young man by the name of Bloomer did the investigative work on the Neil Stoner thing. So, yeah, you have to do it as a reporter. As far as Mel Brewer, he was my boxing coach in school. So I knew Mel for a long time, and Mel was losing it toward the end there, and he just, he turned over the papers to, he turned over the slush fund information to the president. Once that was done, you know, nobody had any choice then. I mean, he was going to make it public to anybody that would listen.
Let's say you lack journalistic integrity, which I'm so happy with your answer, by the way. But let's say you didn't have journalistic integrity and you sat on the story and it never came out. Let's hypothesize for a moment and wonder what would have happened to Illinois sports, and in particular football, which prior to 1967 was a very respectable 62% winning percentage, and after the slush fund has dropped below 40% in winning percentage.
Well, I think you're putting too much emphasis on the slush fund for what's happening now. I don't think there's any relationship. I don't think there's been any relationship ever since the 1980s, when Illinois got to be pretty good in the 1980s, you know, and with Mike White and then with Makovic. I don't see any. I think it affected for a few years, but I don't think it had long term. And I don't know how good an athletic director Pete Elliott would have been. I don't know if he'd have been more like Gene Vance, or would he have been more like Neil Stoner and Ron Gunther, who got things done. I mean, Gunther building buildings. Stoner had a lot of tremendous ideas, so I don't see the slush fund as carrying beyond maybe beyond the Bob Blackman era.
So that's a crutch that we can get rid of right now.
Well, it is for me. Everybody's got a different opinion. Mine isn't the only one.
But your opinion matters to a lot of us. And the question I have for you is Ron Gunther going to be remembered like Herod the Great of ancient times, as somebody who was a great builder but not a very good ruler?
I think that there will be people who remember him that way. I will not be one of them, because I don't believe that an athletic director is responsible many years later. I mean, was he responsible for winning the big, you know, for Gunther going to the Rose Bowl in 2007? I mean, does he get credit for that? I don't think he should. He's not the coach, and I don't think he should get the blame when the team goes sour. I'm alone in that feeling, by the way. Everybody else thinks he should be fired, I guess.
Well, perhaps not everybody, but a lot of people think that when you have a particular sport that generates almost two-thirds of the revenue for, you know, in terms of non-donation revenue for the entire athletic department, that program is paramount on an athletic director's mind. And Gunther, as a self-professed football guy, has basically gotten it wrong three times. I know you're going to say that Tepper was not his hire, although he did make it permanent. But frankly, he's been an abject failure on the most important sport, his most important function as an athletic director during his 17-year tenure.
You think that the record of the football team is more important than six or eight buildings that he's put up? You think that?
You know,
you
I think
that?
I
We're
think
on the wrong page.
No, I don't think that. But I think that had the football program stayed at a level that it was under Mike White and Makovic, those buildings would have got built even earlier, because donations would have poured in support of a championship football program. And I think that it only delayed building those buildings. Those buildings would have got built if we would have had sustained excellence.
I don't understand what you're saying. They wouldn't have been built under Makovic, because he didn't do anything in that regard.
But Makovic wasn't going to be AD forever. I'm just saying that a good athletic director, had he had that success in football and available funds, he would have built those buildings eventually.
Maybe. You're right. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't agree with you.
Lauren, you mentioned the term "what's happening now." I think you're in the camp that Zook has seen his day, and we need a change there. Is that correct?
Well, I guess I'm not in the business of firing coaches. I think probably that Ron Zook is not going to be successful here. I think that's the direction that the thing is going. It'd be pretty surprising if he turned it around now. I don't see if you look at the classes, you know, we've talked for years about how good the recruiting classes is. Just look at the classes right now. Look at the sophomores who'll be juniors next year. There aren't many. Look at the juniors who'll be senior. That class has gone from 21 to 10 right now. 10 people left. That's half of them are gone. Now, that doesn't mean that, I mean, Martez Wilson will be back, and maybe, one other player, Thomas, may be back. But the point is that the classes aren't what they were. So yes, I think the thing is headed south.
And with that in mind, then, is Gunther the right person to hire the next coach, or do we have to wait until Gunther, you know, there's been talk about him retiring last year, this year, next year, whatever. Do we, the fans, have to wait for that to happen so a new AD hires his own guy? How is that going to go
down? You know, you're asking about a situation here, and it's a really good question. The problem is, it starts right at the top. We don't have a president. We don't have a chancellor. We don't have an athletic director that's going to be here very long. We've got a board of trustees that's virtually rookies, and they probably have no interest in the football thing. If they do, they haven't had any background in it. I don't think Kennedy has been following the football program. You know, that's my guess. But in any case, I think the question you're asking is Gunther the right person to name the next football coach? And I would then I would ask you a question. Who better than him? Now, somebody would say anybody, but I think Gunther is logically the best person to hire the next football coach if he had to hire one immediately, because he's got the background, he's got the connection with the commissioner. The commissioner will be very much involved in this, and I think that there's no one better. But again, I'm in a vast minority there, tiny minority.
If a guy strikes out three times and you need a pinch hitter, do you send the guy up who struck out three times?
First of all, why do you keep saying struck out three times? He didn't hire Tepper.
Well, he made him a permanent coach.
Okay. What do you mean he made him a permanent coach? You think he's going to come in and fire him right off the bat? He didn't deserve to be fired right off the bat.
Actually, I saw the Sun Bowl. He did.
That was about 3-0 game.
3-0
against
game.
UCLA.
Against UCLA. If anybody would have recognized his abilities and had the courage to do it, and I grant you,
he wasn't calling the plays. Dahlquist was calling the plays in that game. The fact that Illinois didn't get a touchdown wasn't Tepper's fault. He wasn't running the offense.
Well, I think ultimately,
I'm debate with you, but you got to be reasonable.
No. I'm half getting about Tepper. I think that we've had a problem in terms of Tepper and Turner, that we probably pulled the plug a little late on both those guys, and we let them both run down the program. I don't want to see that happen with Zook.
Here's the problem you have when a guy wins the Big Ten outright. He builds a certain it allows him to stay longer. I mean, it builds credibility in his program. He won the Big Ten outright. He was 8-4 one year. He was 10-2 one year. They won a bowl game by 60 points one game. And
In 1999, I was at that game.
Turner wasn't a bad coach. He's not a bad coach now. He's going to get fired, but he's not a bad coach. You don't last in this business 30 years if you're a bad coach.
Well, no, I'm not disagreeing with that, Lorne.
Well,
What I will say to you is that you can be a good coach and not have a successful football program.
Absolutely.
And so let's put that on the table from the start. That I'm not making aspersions. I'm not attacking his integrity or his quality. If he can't recruit, if he can't build a program, if he can't manage assistants, if he can't hire assistants, I don't care what kind of mind you have, you're not a successful coach.
Which didn't he do?
Well, he obviously didn't have the right assistants. He obviously...
Whoa. What do you mean he didn't have the right assistants?
Because the assistants would have brought in better talent.
Well, you mean he didn't have the right recruiters?
Well, an assistant recruits. That's part of their job description.
Okay. All right.
And so to the extent that he hired people who may have been deficient in certain areas, it made him unsuccessful as a head coach. I think Gunther probably held on maybe 2 years, at the very least 1 year too long. And it really...
To say he held on 2 years is ridiculous. I mean, we can't even hold a discussion if you think that.
Well,
it's not even possible to discuss.
Let's go back. He won the Big Ten in 2001. What was his record in 2002?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me.
He was five and seven.
If I wanted to hear this kind of talk, I'd turn on the internet and listen to the child on there. I mean, the children that are talking on there.
That's why I love you, Lauren.
Lauren, let me ask you this. A few weeks ago at Purdue, Gunther came out, I guess maybe you could say had to come out and say that Zook was going to get at least one more year.
Yeah, now, he got trapped because he told Mason that.
Right, right.
And it was released on the Big Ten Network, and then he had to be enticed to come out and reiterate something that he didn't really want to do.
Right, but
and
you know,
doesn't
he
have any, doesn't have make any difference, because if he decides to fire him at the end of the season, he'll do it anyway.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, he had to say what he said back at Purdue, but nevertheless, if we go out and get killed by both Cincinnati and Fresno, do you think that he would pull the trigger?
You mean, do I think he'll fire him?
Yeah.
I don't think he will. I don't think so, but I don't
know. So if
know.
We lose 40-0...
You're asking me to guess what's in his mind, and I can't do that. I don't think he intends to fire him, but I know he's looking around. I know he's tried to arrange the money that would pay him off. I know he's tried to do some things. I mean, he's trying to be prepared to go either direction, just as he was when he said he wouldn't fire Turner and just as he was when he said he wouldn't fire Tepper.
Which Herb Gould pointed out in a piece in the Sun-Times about 2 weeks ago. I thought that was actually a decent bit of reporting on his part.
What was that? You mean the back page of the Tribune, the Sun-Times?
Yes.
You know who gave him that idea, don't you?
Well, Lauren, you know what? If you want to take credit for it, here's your opportunity.
Huh?
If you want to take credit for it, here's your opportunity.
Well, I told him. I said, Herb, we're in the press box, and I said, Herb, can you remember the exact words when at mid-season when Gunther said he wouldn't fire Turner? And he said, well, you know, he said, I think I can find that. And so he started looking it up. So I just gave him the idea, and then he looked it up.
Well, that was a great idea and great information. It's great to know that Herb keeps all those records on himself.
I'll tell you what, I couldn't have found mine 15 years ago. But you've got to understand that the athletic director supports the coach until he doesn't.
Well, he has to. He has no choice.
I think Zook badly needed it. I mean, you don't realize the internal things that were going on in terms of his just the way he was. You know, living and sleeping and trying to sleep and trying to run a team and all upset and didn't understand what happened and couldn't understand why they weren't winning and he had something that was broken. He couldn't fix it.
But Lauren, he was
going crazy.
But Lauren, isn't this part of the problem? Isn't part of the problem that Zook really doesn't understand all that's going on, doesn't understand how to create a consistent winner, and really is a very tight coach. He is a nervous coach. I've heard, and Boz has heard, from guys, you know, throughout the Big Ten, that he gets very tight in games. It permeates down to his players, and it affects the way they play on the field. They play not to lose instead of to win.
Well, you know, I guess you're right, although... If you go back to 2007, they had a pretty good year, and they beat some pretty good teams. He obviously did it at one time. It just got away from him, and I'm not quite sure why. But if you look at the recruiting classes and you look at the talent that he's lost, it starts to come clear. If you just sit right down right now and look at each class and break it down and see how they're turning out and who's gone and who's here, and then the other thing I don't fully understand, and I really don't understand, is what's happened to Juice. I mean, he should have been a better quarterback. I mean, he should have developed further as he came along. But apparently, this thing with Schultz is not working out, and that's just unfortunate.
I heard a rumor, and I don't want to specifically say who it came from, but a certain coach came up to Zook after the first game of the season and said, "If you don't fire this guy right now, you're going to have a horrific problem this year."
You mean Schultz?
Yes.
Well. It looked like that. I could see why somebody would say that at the Missouri game, and I think Mike Schultz felt that he didn't do a particularly good job in that game and didn't feel like he went deep enough, and I don't know if he knew how to use Juice in the best way.
I mean, this kid's strength is vertical passing. I don't think we've thrown, you know, 8 deep balls all year.
Well... I think Mike said they needed to go vertical. After that game, he said they needed to go vertical more.
But he still didn't. That's the problem.
But, I don't know.
Lauren,
when you get into play calling and you become an expert on that, you pass me because I don't know the right calls.
No, I
know the ones that work are the right ones and the ones that don't work are the wrong ones.
But we're just going by what other people who do know what they're doing are saying.
Well, Mike Schultz knows what he's doing. For 10 years at TCU, he was a doggone good offensive coordinator. That's why they hired him. Now, does he fit here? That's another question. But don't tell me he doesn't know about offensive coordinators. He knows more about offensive coordinators than anybody you're talking to.
Well, maybe so, but does he know who he's got in terms of...
Well, he's learning.
Yeah, perhaps.
Well, unfortunately, it might, you know, take a couple years to... figure it out with the talent, and I don't think he and the head coach, the problem I think is the head coach is not on the same page necessarily with him. Now I know he dictates the defensive.
Well, they're probably going to only be together another 2 weeks. So don't have to worry about it.
Well, I want to ask you this: you talked about how the classes, the recruiting classes, have
the attrition,
dwindled in the attrition and all that. Obviously, we're going to be struggling this year with what's going on, and you know if we lose 2 more ball games and we keep Zook from next year, aren't we delaying the inevitable? Because certainly this thing's not going to get turned around in 1 year, don't you think?
I think you're probably delaying the inevitable. I think you've got Missouri in your first game next year. You've got 2 games against Southern Illinois and Northern Illinois that are not going to be easy, and then you play Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State in a row. And by then, anything could happen the rest of the season if you're not successful early, it always affects how you play later.
By the way, I want to give you credit for one thing, Lauren. I said
just
that,
one
that Turner. Well, one for right now. I said that Turner was probably let go at least a year early, perhaps two. And the record after the 3 years after the 2001 championship were 5-7, 1-11, and 3-8. During the 1-11 year, you weren't going to fire him before that year. You may have let him go mid-year, but not at a place like Illinois, as your article alluded to today. Illinois is not Notre Dame. It's not Michigan. It's not places that really care about football and demand excellence.
Well, that's a really bad statement, because they do care and they want to be excellent.
Well, you know what?
They can't get it done. I mean, it isn't they don't want. You say they don't want it. Well, sure they want it. You think Gunther's dying over this.
You know what?
And he's poured money, and he's empowered the coaches to do everything possible.
You know, you say they've poured money into the program, but if you look at our spending relative to other football programs in the Big Ten, that's simply not the case. The point that I'm making.
Do you mean in paying the head coach, or are you talking about recruiting? What aspect are you talking about?
I'm talking about total budgets. There was an article the other day that had the total budget of every Big Ten team relative to football. It may be the head coach. It may be what you pay assistant coaches. It may be travel and recruiting expenses. We are not spending. We were 10th out of 11 Big Ten teams.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know how that. I always am worried when you start throwing numbers at me that somebody is giving you, because I worked for years trying to do numbers, and I always find out after I'm done that there was somebody held out something, or there was something that wasn't explained.
I understand,
you know, but within the scope of this particular department, I don't think that there's anything that Zook wants that he isn't getting. I don't know what it would be.
Well, no, I think that's probably incorrect. I think that, you know, he'd like more money in travel expenses. He'd like more money in terms of assistant coaches. There are assistant coaches that you can buy. You can buy some great. The SEC has consistently done that.
That's right. They spend a lot more money on them than the University of Illinois.
And so does the Big 12, for that matter. Now, I'm not saying it's right, Lauren. I'm just saying.
No, you're right about that. I know they pay more for assistants than we do, and most of them are paying more for the head coach.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I still believe that the mission of the university is not to create a great football program. It's to create great citizens. And I'm not sure that they're interrelated to the extent that some SEC and Big 12 schools put emphasis on that fact. But by the same token, don't let statistics get in the way of a good argument. If we're not spending the money, we're not spending the money relative to other programs. And it does, money does matter, unfortunately, in this world.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I can see, but I all I know is that you're talking about money as you're carrying that over into caring. They don't care because they don't spend as much money. And all I'm saying is they do care, but they can't afford to spend any more than they're spending. That's my take on it. I mean, the budget is 60-some million, and that's what it is. And it isn't 110 million like it is at Ohio State, and it isn't what it is at Penn State, and it isn't, I'm talking about the overall athletic budget.
But which comes first, the chicken or the egg, Lauren? Do you have to, like the old adage goes, and I am a businessman, I should know something about this. Do you have to spend money to make money, or do you simply not take risk and stay on a straight and narrow and always muddle along? You know, somewhere along the line, a lot of these programs took some risk, spent the extra money, and made a bet on the come. We have never done that.
Well, spending the extra money for what?
I'm just saying that, you know, you're saying there's a $110 million budget at a place like Ohio State. They have, you know, twice as many sports, intercollegiate sports as Illinois. It helps the brand overall. It helps the profile. It helps the esprit de corps within a university. There are benefits to having more sports, and there are benefits to having a great football program, which is the lost leader at some institutions relative to creating better programs, better visibility, and helping the overall athletic program.
Well, I don't know how we would ever expect to have to be able to build our program to that level. I just don't know how that would ever work here. I don't see, maybe it would, but I think we're somewhere in the Iowa, Indiana, Purdue range, and I don't see that happening. I don't know how where the money would come from.
Well, you know, we've made the, you've made the argument before eloquently that Chicago is not part of Illinois.
We can't put 110,000 people in the stadium.
Well, but which comes first?
We can't even get 60,000 in.
We were in the 1920s, we were putting 75,000 people in a stadium in Champaign, Illinois. And that was an unheard of number at the time. Where along the way did we start thinking like the University of Central Illinois as opposed to the University of Illinois?
I don't know. Maybe it was because we never took Chicago into the state.
Maybe that's
the answer. Maybe if we'd taken Chicago, if Chicago was part of the state, maybe we could count on Chicago.
Boz, any follow-up to that?
Lord, I just want to ask you, we want to thank you. I'm going to segue a little. I'm going to give Mr. G a damp towel to brush off a little.
Well, Lauren, if we can't have fun with this stuff, you know,
why even do it?
Right?
And I know you got a few minutes left, then you got to go
we
run.
We had a great chance. If this university had been located north of Kankakee, we'd be in great shape.
I thought actually Kankakee would have been the perfect place for it.
Yeah, should have been.
Lauren, I think it's safe to say within 3 to 5 years, maybe Mr. Gunther will have retired or been assigned a different position if he still wants to work. You know, with that in mind, who do you see? This was a question from one of our avid listeners. Who do you see that might be the next athletic director?
Oh, I don't know. I don't follow that close enough to know. I mean, Jimmy Phillips is an obvious guy because he's an Illinois graduate. He's at Northwestern. I don't know if he would come. I don't know if they would want him. I mean, either way, I don't know. I think once again, the commissioner will have a lot to say in this, and Gunther himself will have a lot to say. And there's a good chance that it'll be announced in the spring that Gunther will be ending his contract in the following December, and they would start this summer trying to line up a coach. They'll start lining up an athletic director who can make the changes that would be necessary. That's probably the way it's going to happen unless Gunther decides that he wants to stay some more years. And if he does, this brand new board of trustees would have to be the one that would decide to advance his stay at the University of Illinois as athletic director.
Lord,
I think he's ready to go back to the foundation and raise money. I think that's where he's headed. And if that's the case, they need to have somebody in here by mid-year to get them ready to take over, you know, and to take over the situation in the fall, the following fall.
Lauren, give me the over-under on the Fresno State crowd.
Oh, I think over and under 35, 40.
Did I read where...
I don't know. You know, I that's something other people talk about. I haven't even put any thought into it, but I think they'll probably, you know, depending on what happens against Cincinnati,
right,
depending on what the weather's like, and, you know, there's a lot of factors that are yet to be determined, and, you know, I assume if they won at Cincinnati and pulled a big surprise, it would lift the crowd, and if
they get blown out,
then they would have fewer people, and then if it's snowing, they'll have even fewer people, but, you know, if the sunshine comes out, I don't know.
Will it affect, do you think it'll affect Gunther's decision regarding Zook if we get blown out by Cincinnati and have 35,000 people against Fresno State?
Well, yeah, I think everything that happens affects his decision, and I don't know how firmly he's entrenched in what he said and whether he's still considering other possibilities. It might depend on several other factors, whether he could raise the money. The university's not going to raise the money to pay off Zook. He has to come up with that. He has to find individual givers, contributors, who would come up with $1.5 million every year for 4 years.
By the way, there's no lump sum buyout. It's a full $6 million, $1.5 million. That's very rare in college contracts to have.
In the contract.
Wow.
It's in the contract, just like it was in Turner's contract. They wrote it the same way.
All right, well, we heard that there's plenty of people down there that are willing to do that, though. Or
well,
enough,
if you've heard that, you've heard something I haven't heard. So
all right, well,
I'm not saying it isn't possible, but I haven't heard that. I don't know who it would be. I know that there's been some negative reaction on the attempts to do some things for the assembly hall, and so I think that they're trying really hard to move that thing along, and I'm not sure it's going to happen.
You know, I've heard that there are at least a half a dozen kids who are contemplating transferring at the end of the year, and really that'll further exacerbate the problem relative to the attrition that's going on in the upper classes. I don't know how you keep them if you have a mass exodus and you're left with, you know, 10, 11 seniors in a class.
Well, I don't know either, but, you know, I hear that they're all staying, and I hear that some are going. So you can take it your choice. So I guess you're guessing, and I'm guessing, and I don't think we know. And some kids say things, and then they don't do them. And some kids say things and do them. And I have no idea what's going to happen in terms of the returning players, but I would say anybody who wants to leave ought to go, because if they don't want to play here, they sure shouldn't be here.
What would your job description look like if you were putting an ad in the paper for the next Illinois football coach? What would you want to see on a resume?
I want to see a younger guy. I want to see a guy that's on his way up and has had some success and a young winner. That would be what I'd want.
Why wouldn't we take a chance like a guy with Chuck Martin at Grand Valley State?
Well, I don't know. You're asking me about a guy I've never met. I don't know him. I mean, I don't know his personality. I mean, I don't know.
Fair enough.
But I mean, I'm not just going to look at a piece of paper and say, I
who says we might not take?
No. But I've heard from people that we'd want an established Division I coach. You know, to me, you've got to think out of the box a little bit, because whatever we've tried hasn't really worked all that well.
Well, I will tell you this: whoever they hire next year is going to be in trouble. That's going to be a really tough season next season. I just told you who those early games are.
Yeah, yeah.
And teams never play as well after they lose early. They just don't. And, you know, you saw Michigan look like they started out this year, and they beat Notre Dame and looked like they're going to be good. And then they took a setback, and the next thing you know, they're right back in the same old, problems. And that's what happened with Illinois this year. Illinois might have had a pretty good football team if the schedule had been different, if you didn't have – just look at it. I'll make the change to basketball real quick here. Illinois' first eight games, and let me get this right now, the first eight games are against the bottom four teams of the conference. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, what a break that is. Eight of their last 10 games are against the top six teams in the conference.
And I haven't got that
perfect. I'm doing it from memory. But what I'm basically telling you is we got a really easy schedule early in the Big Ten basketball season and real hard late, and that's the way you want it.
Especially with young kids, you know, who you're bringing into the program, who need to get seasoned and get used to playing against Big Ten competition.
If Northwestern lost Coble, so Illinois beat Northwestern twice, could beat Iowa twice, could beat Indiana twice, all real early. And be off to a really good start. It's just the way it works out. It's a fluke. I mean, it's a fluke the way the football season worked out, where you're playing Ohio State and Penn State back-to-back.
I think actually who
can beat those two back-to-back? Who in the country?
No, I think that having Fresno and Cincinnati at the end of the schedule actually was a burden as well, just a psychological burden. This team knew that at the end of the year they would have difficulty winning those two games. It put more pressure on them in games like Indiana and Purdue.
I think that's a fallacy. I don't agree with that at all. I don't think anybody went out on the field at Indiana thinking about Fresno State.
I think there's a cumulative pressure that mounts on a football team, and that pressure is compounded by the fact that you're not meeting expectations and that you know that things will get more difficult as you go on. And it affects.
I agree with the first part. I don't agree with the last part.
Okay. We agree to disagree there.
Speaking of basketball, Lauren, quickly, did I read correctly where you drew the long straw and you get to go to Vegas and miss Cincinnati?
Well, I do broadcast for basketball. I don't do broadcast for football, so that's why I go. I'm with the broadcast team.
Okay, so you, at least you're spared the trip.
I'd rather be in Cincinnati. I much prefer football. I'm not a basketball fan. I'm a football fan.
If you were,
I'm a Cardinal baseball fan too. You Cup fan.
I'm a Sox fan. So,
well, we won't hold that against you. We'll get you back in the middle of the basketball season when there's some fun, good stuff to talk
Lauren,
about.
Lauren, if you were doing color commentary for Illinois football, would you be blunt and honest about the product?
Oh, I would think I'd get fired.
Okay.
I think Grabowski toward the end, he became a little more critical, and I think Kittner's been fairly critical, although I don't get a list, so I don't know exactly, and that's dangerous for me to say that because I don't know exactly, but I heard Brian Barnhart told me that Kittner had become pretty critical in some of those games, but how could you not? I mean, how could you not when you're losing to Indiana and Purdue and not even in the ballgame at the time.
Right. Who can blame him?
Now, do you agree with me that I think this year's basketball team will be a much better team at the end of the year than last year's team, although they may not have as good a record?
Well, I think the record's going to be pretty comparable. I think it is now. But it's awful early to judge. But see, if that team hadn't lost Chester Frazier, I think there would have been, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been quite so. But this team is more natural offensively. That team was not natural. They had to fight for every basket. And I think there's a big difference. And plus, Davis and McCamey and Tisdale are a year older, and the freshmen are pretty good. I mean, they're prospects at least. They're not there yet, but they're really going to be good someday.
And by the way, I think Griffey, you know, we talk a lot about Paul and Richardson. I think Griffey's a fundamentally sound kid who's going to add a lot to this team as well.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll go deeper than 8 or 9, and when it comes to the big games I'm talking about, I mean, right now you can't tell anything because he's playing everybody, Cole and Simpson. They had 13 players that scored the other night, and they had 49 points in reserves and 45 points from the starters. That's the only time I've ever known that the reserves outscored the starters in a basketball game. But anyway, what he's going to do substitution-wise, he's going to have Keller to sub up front. He's going to have, Legion's going to hang in there probably and be the sixth or seventh man. Then you're going to have Jordan playing for McCamey. That's 8. So you've only got room for about one more guy that's going to play in any game that's critical.
So who do you think gets more minutes, Cole or Griffey? Probably Cole, I think.
I prefer Griffey myself. I definitely prefer by a big margin, but I don't know which way he'll go.
It's going to depend on the team, the opponent, how the game's going.
Sure. Yeah.
All that,
but we can go 10 deep. And
don't
not
forget Richard Semra.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
forget
well,
him.
I think Semra's good for Tisdale at times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right about that.
We disagree on that as well.
what's that? You don't think he will?
He's not a big Semra.
I just think that, you know, walking and chewing gum has been an issue for him.
Well, I don't think he's very good, but I don't think Tisdale is either.
No, Tisdale has not progressed. He did progress fairly nicely, I think, between freshman and sophomore year. I don't see him getting much better than he is.
Well, he hasn't gotten stronger. That's the biggest problem.
Well, he's better, and he will score at times, but he's, you know, I don't really put much stock in the scoring part of it because we've got plenty of scores, and the problem right now is defense and rebounding.
I agree with you.
Right.
And those are the two areas that he's not strong in. He's a nice player, but, you know, and he's fortunate in a world where there aren't very many, including the Big Ten, there aren't very many really good, strong, back-to-the-basket centers. If there are, you name them.
No, I agree with you. The other area that I think we were a little bit deficient in, and why I actually think that Jordan can help us, is that we're not a great ball-handling team in a full-court situation. In a half-court situation, we're fine. But we need a guy who can bring the ball up the court.
Well, I think McCamey can do it.
No, McCamey
can't play
all
the time.
But that's my point. You'll need Jordan, and Jordan will get some minutes subbing for McCamey.
Oh, yeah.
And Boz,
he'll play 10, 12, 14 minutes a game, I think.
Will, or he did last time out?
I think he will. I think McCamey will go about 30.
Yeah. See,
now, there might be occasions when McCamey can play more than that, but I think Jordan will be in there probably, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes a game.
I would say like 8 minutes a game is the number that I was thinking about, but you may be right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not going to argue that point. I don't know.
I think Jordan does a good job of managing the game when he's in the game.
I think he does too, and he isn't looking to score. He's looking to help somebody else score, and that's what we need.
Lauren, who you got on your show in 20 minutes?
Oh, gee, I'm on with Steve Kelly, and he runs the show, and I'm just on there with him. We'll have Paul Klee will be on with us, who knows more about basketball than anybody.
Right.
And this is Steve Kelly's show, so
okay.
I just go on with him.
All right, very good.
Lauren, you are an Illinois treasure. I don't always agree with you. I don't always agree with you.
Neither does anybody else.
But I certainly enjoy the debate, and you bring your A game every time you come, and hopefully we give you enough resistance and things to talk about where you enjoy coming on.
All right.
Happy holidays, Lauren. Thanks a lot.
See you later. Bye.
Okay, Lauren Tate from the News Gazette talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. We'll be coming back, giving thanks to our sponsors and friends and acknowledging some new emailers.
I've got to do a little yoga breathing right now, Boz.
Yeah, let's get Mr. G a little hot towel, and we'll be back in a moment.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you. Don't put off the things you should do today. Start a financial plan with AXA Advisors. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll buy the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
The talk of planet Earth.
We call it
TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio.
And we know you're going to love it.
TalkZone.com.
And now, let's get back in the game for more Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Boz and Mr. G.
Boz and Mr. G back, Talking Illini, Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Give us a call, 888-463-6748, or email, like our many emailers have done during the week, pre-show, at talkingillini@yahoo.com.
Were you shocked that Lauren Tate thought that Griffey would or should get more minutes than Billy Cole this year?
No, I think, again, as I said then, it depends on the game, the opponent, what's going on. I think... You know, ultimately, I'm hesitating because Cole's shown improvement in hustle and rebounding. You know, I think they're kind of neck and neck. Cole's made, you know, we haven't seen Griffey enough yet to know if he could fill it up like Cole can if he gets hot.
I think
Griffey's a tougher guy that will get more rebounds.
I think as the season goes on, Boz, what you may see is Legion getting less and less minutes. And Cole getting more and more minutes at the three, and Griffey taking those minutes at the four.
Well, you know, again, that's a good strategy, and it depends on the matchups. I think another thing the fans
By the way, why does it depend on the matchups? Does anybody think that Legion can do a better job guarding a 6'4 quick guy than Cole can? Legion doesn't move his feet. He doesn't have any court sense defensively. Why does anybody think that that's a matchup issue as to whether or not Legion, you know, gets minutes against a quicker player? And by the way, I think Cole will be as consistent an outside shooter this year as Legion.
Okay.
Just my prediction.
Before you interrupted me, I was going to say, because we're talking about front court play and rebounding, I will not be surprised, and I'm telling Illini Nation this now so they won't be surprised, but Brandon Paul is going to be relied upon and hopefully being talked to about using his athleticism to be an important defensive, well, both offense and defense. We've seen him crash the boards in a couple of these first games and get some nice offensive putbacks. But, you know, let's put basketball, even though we got a game tonight, Wofford will be very interesting on ESPNU, a different style of play, tougher opponent. Let's put that on the back burner a few more minutes. We want to tell the fans that at a little after 5, we're expecting to have Howard Griffith on for some more in-depth, intense football analysis. I guess, unfortunately, the bottom line is, you know, even if we lose 40-0 the last two games, Zook will still be here because Gunther's going to be here for another year.
But that's not what Tate said at the end of the broadcast or the end of his stint. What he said was, if we get blown out by Cincinnati and there's a horrible crowd for the Fresno State game, we may be looking at a different set of circumstances after
well,
the season's
yeah, I
over.
Hope so, because again, I think we need fresh blood to rejuvenate the existing players that are there and bring us some new revitalized concepts in coaching as well. Got a few callers.
Yeah, Illini CB, you're on the air with Boz and Mr. G.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Same to you.
Thank you, CB.
Happy and a healthy one. My best to your family.
Thank you. You know, you guys were talking about spending before, and I think, and I've always struggled with what that means. I think it's easy to, as we all know, it's easy to spend somebody else's money and throw money at an issue. And frankly, if I thought money would get us a great coach would ensure success on the football field, I'd be all for it. I'm not sure it does.
Well,
we've also not spent and had a lack of success. So maybe by default, you have to at least try another method. But when I looked at those expense stats that were in the paper, whatever it was a couple of weeks ago, proportionally, we're better. I just picked Wisconsin because I always look at them as a kind of a peer. We spent more than they did considering the number of athletes that we support. Now, maybe that's just making the numbers, I don't know if that's meaningful or not, but our overall spend is less because we're supporting fewer sports.
Well, that may be the case, but look at the specific spending on football versus their spending on football. They're outspending us on football. I think the number was by $10 million. It was by a wide margin. So we may be spending less on a per-athlete basis overall, but what I'm talking about is what are we spending on the football program? And that's where not only is it relevant, but it's where people are sustaining excellence. If you look at the spending by Iowa and Wisconsin, it's way higher than our spending. And there is a correlation. They've had sustained excellence, relative sustained excellence in football. We have not.
I would agree. Yeah, and like I said, if I felt that was the answer, and I'm not saying it isn't, but if that's all it takes, then I'm all for it. Now, that again, that's easy enough to say. One, I don't know if what Gunther's marching orders are. If it's just to run a program in the black, then he's done it.
Yeah, well, Gunther really doesn't take marching orders from anybody. He is the emperor of the athletic department. It's independent. It's not funded by the university. It's funded internally. He spends, you know, what he can to make the program work. I think he's put a low ceiling on the program in terms of what he's willing to spend. He's not willing to spend on the come. He's not willing to go into the red, and he's not willing to take risk. He's a fiscally conservative guy. You can admire him or hate him or dislike him for that, but the truth of the matter is he's in a difficult spot because he doesn't get funding from the university. However, I still think he's sold himself short and has not really taken risk with the program that he could have taken, especially given the fact that he's got a lot of notoriety and a lot of he gets a lot of press in the Chicago market. CB, we're going to bring on somebody else here who also wants to join our debate. Seth, you're on the air with Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G, and Illini CB is on with us as well.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Seth. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. I know Boz has called into the morning break and Two Guys and a Mic before, so I figured I'd give you my take on what's going on in the Lion Eye Nation.
Okay, great. Thanks. I know who this Seth is.
Yeah. Anyways, kind of what I wanted to talk about with the football program is a little more abstract than some of the stuff you guys were talking about with Lauren and have been talking about, over the last hour or so, and that I think what I'm looking for out of an athletic director or even out of a football coach is somebody who wants to build the program to the point where there's a coach who wants to stay and sustain success. If you even look at Utah and the way Urban Meyer left, as soon as he had some success, he went to a bigger and better program. Now, that's ultimately my fear if a coach does have success at Illinois, because it's not one of the premier football programs in the country. And then we'll be back at square one. I thought I wanted to run that by you guys or stir up some debate there.
Well, that's why I think you go with a guy like the Grand Valley State guy, because a guy like that who's making $150,000, all of a sudden now he's going to $750,000 base. You can structure a guy's contract who's desperate for a big job with such a huge buyout that would really make it difficult for another school to come in and buy a contract out for $5 to $10 million. And if a guy really wants a big time job, you could put that in the contract. CB, I know you wanted to say something as well.
I was just going to say, if one, let's find out. I would love to have a coach so successful that he gets lured away by Southern Cal or the Bears or somebody. The reality is, if Turner was successful, I think he probably would have stayed. And I think if Zook was successful, he would have stayed. And let's face it, our measure of success, as you guys have talked about, we're not talking about going 10-2 every year. If we go, 7 or 8 wins and go to a bowl, we'd be building statues to the guy.
See, that's where I have to disagree with you, because I was at school when Ron Turner was coaching there. And quite frankly, I think if he had success, if he had Kirk Ferentz type success, I think he'd have moved on to the NFL.
You may be right. Unfortunately, we don't know because he didn't.
Seth, I think you got a good point. And it depends, like, if what Scott's saying, if you get a young guy and he does have success, he's going to want to maybe keep going up the ladder. But I think there are people like this, and this is where it might be tricky. You get a guy like Weber, and like Scott thinks if Zook was successful, he was going to stay. He would have stayed. There are guys out there that this is the right fit for him. It all becomes a fit. You know, the frustrating thing is again the continuity or lack of it that we have that has led to this 17 years of what do we have, 3 or 4 or 5 years at the most of over 500 team.
The problem is, do we live in a society right now where the truly successful guys, and I'm putting that in quotes because I'm not sure that these are what I characterize as successful human beings, but the people who are achieving sustained wins and losses are the me-first kind of people who are very selfish in their attitude, who look at their own situations more than loyalty in the team, and that by the nature of society today, those guys are guys that are going to move on because they're always going to be looking to better themselves. Even at great places like LSU, where Nick Saban was so ready to move on, and there are other situations like that where guys just want to move on.
I think absolutely. We live in a capitalistic society. I had the opportunity to go cover the Midwest Regional in Indianapolis last year, and that, there was a lot of, questions as to whether Tom Izzo was going to move on to the Kentucky job. And he even said, you got to look at different jobs. I think all guys have to look at different jobs. I don't think of it as necessarily not being loyal to the program. I just think of it as somebody forwarding their career like anybody else.
I think it's a generational issue, Seth, because we weren't raised that way. Guys, my age, guys Boz's age, CB's age, we were told that, you're loyal to your employer, you stick it out, you make it work, you build the best program you can, the best, company you can, and you're not always looking for a bigger, better deal. I think the problem with kids who have been raised in the internet age is that they're always looking for a bigger, better deal. It's just the nature of the beast. I'm not saying that you're necessarily wrong. I'm just saying it's different, and I don't like it.
What we're describing is Bruce Weber.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Bruce is our vintage. He's our age.
Well, you know, that's what it comes down to ultimately, finding a guy that can get the job done and who fits Champaign Urbana in Central Illinois and doesn't need to be in Times Square or LA or anywhere else.
See, I think part of the problem with hiring coaches at the University of Illinois is it's difficult to recruit there, and not because it's in Champaign Urbana, but because your main recruiting base is Chicago. When you look at basketball, that's a national hotbed. You have guys from all over the country coming to Chicago. You look at the Proviso West Tournament. Mike Krzyzewski's there. Rick Pitino's there. All sorts of guys.
You know what? I'm tired of hearing, and this is nothing personal, but if you can do it at Wisconsin, if you can do it at Iowa, if you can do it at Oklahoma, if you can do it at every podunk, you know, even Gainesville. Mm-hmm. Gainesville is the middle of nowhere. You know, we talk about Illinois being the University of Central Illinois, located in Champaign. Gainesville's a lot farther from Miami than Champaign is from Chicago.
You actually misinterpreted what I said. I said I don't think it has anything to do with the fact.
I apologize.
It's in Champaign Urbana. No, that's fine. And I actually completely agree with you on that point. However, I think Chicago being the main recruiting base for the University of Illinois, just as you could say Miami is a big recruiting base for the University of Florida, I think the fact that for Chicago, when it comes to basketball, Chicago is a national recruiting base. I mean, coaches from all over the country flock to Chicago. And any coach from the University of Illinois is then competing with that coach.
If you took out the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. the state of Illinois still has 10 million people in it. The state of mm-hmm. Iowa has 4 million people. The state of Wisconsin has 5 million people. It's still a much easier task to recruit the state of Illinois than it is some of those places. And it just can be done, you know. And even if you discounted the fact that Chicago is nationally recruited, you still have a bit of an advantage there because of familiarity.
I think it's just a matter of...
True, but... I mean, from a football perspective, you're competing with Notre Dame, too. You know, one of the most storied football programs in the country. I'm not saying there's an excuse, but I think you also need to find a balance. They brought in this guy, Ron Zook, I think, for that specific reason, because he's a great recruiter. Well, he hasn't really done a great job at developing talent. Martez Wilson was a parade All-American. You know,
I'm not sure he's recruited that well.
Well, it doesn't, you don't know what's first. If he's recruited well, then he hasn't been able to coach, or all the talk on the recruiting hasn't, you know, been true. It comes down, guys, we failed the last two times around. You know, I don't mind. You know, Turner, I think, is a pretty good football coach. He couldn't recruit. Gunther went out, got a recruiter with a reputation of not being able to coach, and he's living up to it, unfortunately, and can't even surround himself with guys that he could get along with, that they could work together, and that can coach. So hopefully next time around, we'll find a guy that can do both, who like Bruce Weber, will assemble a staff that can work together, and want to be there for a long time.
By the way, and I think Boz hit on something that we've absolutely been harping on. The guy is a terrible in-game coach. I mean, I said tongue-in-cheek in one of my blogs that his in-game communications should be limited to heads, tails, and attaboy.
Well, to hell with in-game. I mean, practice has got to be aren't great either. I mean, I've had word from people on the – and this is what we're going to ask Howard after 5 o'clock. I mean, he's only – you know, they go do that thing. I don't know how much they could tell in one day, you know, the Big Ten Network and their one day thing. But from what I understand, you know, practices aren't that impressive either. So, you know, I think we're just, it's frustrating. It's just a situation where the coaching hasn't done the kids any favors.
Yeah, so, I think it's difficult probably to speculate what's going on in practice. Ultimately, no, it doesn't really matter what's going on in practice.
Well, it shows on the field.
What happens on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's one measuring stick, and that's where we're coming up short.
Yeah.
Right. Guys,
CB, we're going to drop you off where Sully from Denver wants to put in his 2 cents. Seth, you can stay on for a second if you wish.
Sure.
Sully.
How are you guys doing today?
The infamous Sully. We've seen your posts. We like what you have to say. Sully, you're as passionate as we are, and now you've got our microphone.
Hey, I think I disagree with you guys just a little bit. I'm not a real anti-Zook fan like a lot of guys are on here. I really don't think he has as much to do with it. I know he takes the ultimate blame, but I mean, I'll be honest with you, where we've got hammered is on assistant coaching hires. I mean, we took such a huge step back, losing Locksley, even though I was never a huge fan of him as a play caller. We took a huge step back this year. Defense comes up a little bit. We put some points on the board this year, and all of a sudden, you know, your season's different. Recruiting as a whole, obviously, we took a ton of chances first couple of years. And as you see now, we're still playing a ton of freshmen and sophomores, not even guys that are redshirting.
Well, how can you not, Sully, how can you not then put that onus on the head coach? He's the guy that hires the assistants, you know.
Well, that's part of where I go back to Gunther. I'm not saying it's not partially his fault. Obviously, a good portion of it is. You know, that's where Lauren and I disagree on the budgets. I don't think Zook's getting whatever he wants, and I don't think the money's necessarily there, because there's a ton of coaches out there that you come in, you take a look at Illinois, you do have the Chicago base handy. You do have a good group of football talent between Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, where we can recruit. We've got great facilities, a top academic school. Now, we do need to get admissions under control to help us out a little bit, and we do need to get better support staff to help maybe what we'd call at-risk players to get in here and help them get through school. But the problem is we're not going out and paying the top dollar to go grab high-end assistants. And on top of that, he's letting Gunther go talk to guys like Mallory and Gottfried about who the heck to hire. And those aren't the people to consult. 60% career-winning head coaches just aren't the guys to go talk to.
I don't think you need to pay top dollar for a coach in this situation.
For a head coach?
I forgot which one of you said. Go out and get a guy from Grand Valley State.
That was me. Yeah, you can. You can probably hire him for, you know, probably $500,000 base with ups.
I don't know if I'd necessarily. I mean, there are obviously some concerns when you're recruiting for Grand Valley State and making the jump to the Big Ten. But the guy I want is Turner Gill.
Turner Gill has not had a very good year this year, and I'm not sure that Turner Gill is the answer. I think that Al Golden's going to be a much higher prospect, the guy at Temple, than Turner Gill will be.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a hard time.
I couldn't disagree with that. I think when you're looking in the MAC and those smaller conferences and just schools, those kind of guys, it's going to it's tough to sustain that kind of success at a Buffalo or a Temple. I mean, Temple hasn't been good before this year either.
Well, I'll agree with Sully. I mean, again, there's a fine line, but you know, when it comes to spending, I mean, there's only two ways to spend. They got the facilities now, the weight room, all that kind of thing. So the only place to spend it is on coaches and on travel budgets
to
recruit.
You're making an error there.
Where else?
You buy two wins. Well, you buy two wins.
Okay, all right.
Instead of playing at Cincinnati, instead of playing in St. Louis, you have eight games on a home schedule. You pay the team $300,000 to come in for the purpose of beating that team and becoming bowl eligible. You build the brand that way. You spend the money to build the brand. And once you get good enough where you can go out on a limb and play good teams in different places, then you do it. In the short run, you spend the money that way. I don't know what you and Sully and Seth, what you guys have to think about that.
I think that's the one thing there, because if there's anything that this fan base has proven, it's that when this team wins, they show up. You know, they're selling out games. Look back at the 07 season.
Yeah, and
you're right, Seth.
Yeah, and Sully, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, the one thing Lauren and I will agree on is, you take Missouri out of this schedule, you put any what's a matter you in there, and this may be a totally different outcome on the season. I think when you're playing so many young guys, you got a quarterback that maybe gets caught up in the emotions a little bit. You definitely have a head coach that gets caught up in the emotions quite a bit. I think that confidence, that demeanor, that can kill you. And it did. I mean, you keep that game close at Missouri, it changes the whole whole thing. I was there to witness that debacle.
Yeah, we want to thank you guys for joining us. We've got a break for a minute here, but the one thing I would like to say to you guys is I've never seen an Illinois team as ill-prepared as they were for the Missouri game. It set the tone for the entire year. It was an absolute debacle, and the coaching staff has to wear that failure for the rest of the year. We're going to take a break now. We'll be back with Howard Griffith in a few moments.
You'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations, or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell him Boz and Mr. G sent you, and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.